From the University of Texas at Austin, KUT Radio, this is In Black America.
I was actually fasting because I would call myself a spiritual guy, more than a religious guy, but I was fasting in 2016, and it came, you know, in the fast, I got the word to start a school, because the end product was going to be not only just a school, but a pharmacy. So starting in January 2016, it took us about 9 months to become a licensed post-secondary program in the state of Florida. And we got that in 9 months. So we started school January of 17. And then after using, you know, the proceeds from that, we turned into a pharmacy and began the process in August of 2017. And in January, we were able to be open, but I still pushed it back a little bit to get some more things done, and started it in April. So roughly about 9 months, maybe.
Dr. Albert D. Chester, owner of Newtown Pharmacy and founder and program director of Capstone Institute, both located in Jacksonville, Florida. In April of 2018, Chester opened his pharmacy in an underserved neighborhood in Northwest Jacksonville, Florida. The area was the same neighborhood his grandfather grew up in decades ago. According to Chester, it was all about sowing a seed into the community. Many of his residents don't have cars, and getting to a pharmacy to get their medicine can become a major challenge. Chester also saw a need to expose the young people in the area to the healthcare profession, becoming pharmacy technicians. To that end, the Capstone Institute was founded to provide alternatives to college for some and a chance for others who are dissatisfied with their current employment situation. I'm Johnny O'Hanson Jr., and welcome to another edition of In Black America. On this week's program, Dr. Albert D. Chester, owner of Newtown Pharmacy and founder and program director of Capstone Institute, In Black America.
It's kind of interesting, and we named it Newtown because the area that's actually Newtown is probably about half a mile away, but there's no pharmacy in Newtown at all. I mean, you're talking about something that runs easy 3 miles without a pharmacy. You have a Walgreens. I have a couple Walgreens away, but from my actual store, there's about in a mile radius, there's no pharmacy. Right outside that mile, you do have some, but in the Newtown area specifically, over by Edward Waters College, I mean, there's a stretch of miles where you don't have any pharmacy.
Dr. Albert D. Chester is a visionary. After working for more than a decade in numerous kinds of pharmacy, including retail, hospital, ambulatory care, and home infusion, he decided it was time to go it alone. Born and raised in Jacksonville, Florida, Chester is a graduate of Florida A&M University. Chester and his family saved for 2 years to see his dream come true. Chester has witnessed firsthand the many challenges the residents in the Northwest Jacksonville neighborhood face by not having private transportation to obtain their needed medicines. Newtown Pharmacy was created to be a patient-centered business where the community healthcare needs was the primary focus. Also, its Capstone Institute is training residents in the neighborhood for opportunities in the healthcare industry. Recently, In Black America spoke with Dr. Albert D. Chester.
It was great. I had a good experience. And at the time, we still had a sense of, you know, kind of community and neighborhood. So I had a whole lot of quote-unquote aunties, a whole lot of quote-unquote uncles that helped, you know, rear me and steer me in the direction that I'm, you know, in the path that I'm on right now. So I enjoyed it.
Any brothers and sisters?
No, only child.
What were some of your favorite subjects while you were in school, grade school?
Some of the favorite would be math was a particular one I really enjoyed, and also biology. I enjoyed that one a lot.
And what made you select Florida A&M for your undergraduate work?
Well, it was family school for the most part. My grandmother, she finished up her education there. My mother was actually Miss FAMU in 1980, mm-hmm. And then my father won the first. He was a quarterback for the team that worked the first and only national championship, Division I AA national championship for the school. So I don't know if we get more FAMU than me.
I know that's right. Why pharmacy as a major?
Well, in all honesty, it's because that's what my mother told me to do. And that's one of the things I tell young people when I talk to them now is like, you know, if you don't know what you're doing or know what you want to do, I mean, listen to some of your elders, listen to, you know, people that really care about you, because, I mean, in all honesty, I mean, my dream was to be a teacher, be an instructor. But she told me, why not give the pharmacy thing a try? You know, the financial gains that you can have in it. And, you know, if you're smart enough to do it, go, you know, why not? And just being a mama's boy, it paid off. I just listened to mom and, you know, the rest is history.
What were some of the things taught to you while you're in pharmacy school?
Well, I mean, you get the same instructions and, you know, same directives as you would if you went to any other pharmacy school. But the difference to me in going to HBCU is that you're really branded and you're not just a number. And I, you know, I don't, that's not to talk down about any other school or program, but at FAMU, there was a sense of, you know, it was difficult. It was hard because they wanted the best. They wanted to make you into, you know, a clinician. They pushed you hard because they wanted you to be successful because you represented them. And it wasn't because they were trying to fail you or anything in a negative way. It was to make you better. And that was relayed. And that was the part that that really stuck out to me and why I appreciate it so much was, you know, simply because of that. They're branding you. You're part of them and they want you to represent. So that was one of the big things that we learned, you know, at FAMU.
First job out of college.
Started working at Walgreens.
And how was that experience?
It was great. I enjoyed it. Again, following one of my mentors' instructions, and within, you know, a couple of years, became a pharmacy manager. Really learned the business of pharmacy on that level. Enjoy working with the people, bounced around city in greater Jacksonville and kind of in St. John's County, which is right outside of Jacksonville. Enjoyed it and learned a lot, but was ready to move on.
How long did you stay with Walgreens?
I was at Walgreens for 10 years.
Oh, that's a pretty good stretch.
Yeah, it was a decent stretch, but in the pursuit of excellence and the pursuit to always get better, I realized I had pretty much peaked out with Walgreens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, within, you know, after about 7-8 years being with the company, I realized that was pretty much it. But, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's just when you just have a drive to always get better and always improve. And what the next challenge is, it wasn't the challenges that I was seeking. I wanted something better, something more.
Obviously, that led you to open your own pharmacy. How long did it take for you to achieve that process?
Well, what happened, I was actually fasting, because I would call myself a spiritual guy, more so than a religious guy, but I was fasting, you know, in 2016, and it came, you know, in the fast, I got the word to start a school, because the end product was going to be not only just a school, but a pharmacy. So starting in January 2016, it took us about 9 months to become a licensed post-secondary program in the state of Florida. And we got that in 9 months. So we started school January of 17. And then after using, you know, the proceeds from that, we turned into a pharmacy and began the process in August of 2017. And in January, we were able to be open, but I still pushed it back a little bit to get some more things done. And started in April, so roughly about 9 months, maybe a little less, seven, 8 months total to get it going, you know, from the time of really the start date of getting the pharmacy going. But it's been the process that we've started for about 3 years.
So Capstone came before the pharmacy?
Yeah.
And why was it, in your thought processes, that the institute need to take place in the neighborhood it's currently located?
Well, I was driving to my grandmother's house, and I had been all around the city looking for places to start, you know, to open up, and the prices just really wasn't right, and I just wasn't feeling it. And I happened to make a right, taking a little shortcut to her house, and mm-hmm. I saw this building. And it stuck out to me. So I looked over, walked in, made a couple phone calls, and, you know, decided to proceed. And then when I started doing the research, developing the business plan, because this is all before the business plan, everything,
mm-hmm.
like the average income in this area is $11,000. I mean, you're talking about for a household of 2 to 3 people sometimes. Mm-hmm. And pharmacy technician, I mean, the average salary for a pharmacy technician is, you know, roughly about $27,000, $28,000 a year. So you're talking about the program that I developed within 15 weeks, you go from, you know, the average income of being $11,000 to, I mean, most of my students get hired before they even finish with the program. Mm-hmm. So you're more than doubling the income right away in 15 weeks. You're talking about in, what's that, 3-4 months?
Right. More or less so, 3 months. So what other individuals did you get to buy into that vision that you have?
Honestly, nobody.
Okay.
We don't have any investors. We didn't take out any loans. I mean, it was just a lot of sweat equity, a lot of grinding, a lot of overtime. Moved a couple things around in my personal finances, and, you know, really, for lack of a better term, burn the boat. I use that term when I'm talking, when you want to take the island, you burn the boat. So I put my back against the wall, and it's either sink or swim. So in a situation like that, you put it all online, and you just roll with it. And you feel different when you're moving in a purpose that's not driven selfishly or with an ego, because people say all the time, well, you left making 6 figures to, you ain't put no paycheck in a while now. I say, exactly. But the reward, it's coming, but right now it's planting season. It's not harvesting season yet. So you understand all that and take that into consideration, and you just keep grinding, man. You know, did I reach out to some people for some help? I did. And, you know, you kind of got to run around, but that's fine too. You know, that wasn't discouraging. I mean, I didn't miss a beat. I mean, just to me, I look at it like a mirror. So O-N means his own. So no don't do nothing but mean his own. So I asked, you said no, okay, his own.
Dr. Chester, when a student enters the institute, what are the first things that they have to go through?
Well, I mean, we want to make sure that everybody has a high school diploma or GED equivalent. Mm-hmm. Because there's a level of aptitude that you have to have in order to, you know, go through the process and actually get hired and become a pharmacy technician. But in that short, in this period of time, I first have them do a plan of action for their life, as far as, you know, where they see themselves in a year, mm-hmm. 2 years, 3 years, all the way up to 10. And have them, you know, break it up into financial, spiritual, relationship-wise, of course, social, mental, everything you can think of that encompasses your life. Because I tell them, if you're not better after you leave here, then I didn't do my job. You know, I can teach this to a monkey to count some tablets and do some other stuff. But to really give you a plan and to have you think about it and write it out, to me, is the ultimate goal. I mean, I got some people that's, you know, I'm trying to get into, they're trying to get into the fire program, become a fireman. I have some young ladies interested in nursing. They're going to nursing school now. So we use this as a couple things. I mean, I look at everything usually in threes, maybe because I'm a capital, but we do everything in threes. So we have people that this is going to be a career change for them. So that helps. We have people that don't know what they want to do, but they want to do something. And, you know, they want to be around, you know, pharmacy technicians give you an opportunity to be around the pharmacist, to be around doctors, you know, to have those conversations. So it becomes possible when not knowing what to do, because, like, hey, well, she's a pharmacist, he's a pharmacist, I can do it too. Or she's a doctor, he's a doctor, I can do it too. Like, people just need to understand that it's possible. So that's a possibility. And then along with that, you got people who we use it as an introduction to healthcare. You know, so maybe they want to do something in healthcare, but they're not sure. So in 15 weeks, you're not getting a whole lot of debt. You're not spending a whole lot of time, but you're getting exposed to healthcare. So, you know, I have people that work in insurance companies now, health insurance companies. So, you know, United Health, that was a big one. OptumRx, they came through. So, you know, just giving them options and something worthwhile. And it doesn't take a whole lot of time, but it does take focus. And just to see, you know.
We'll be back with more of our conversation in a moment. If you're just joining us, I'm Johnny O'Hanson Jr., and you're listening to In Black America from KUT Radio, and we're speaking with Dr. Albert D. Chester, CEO of Newtown Pharmacy in Jacksonville, Florida, and also founder, chief instructor of Captone Institute, also in Jacksonville. So the institute came first, and then the pharmacy came second. And from what I've read, there wasn't a pharmacy within a 3-mile radius in that neighborhood.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting. And we named it Newtown because the area that's actually Newtown is probably about half a mile away, but there's no pharmacy in Newtown at all. I mean, you're talking about something that runs easy 3 miles without a pharmacy.
Is that in the area where Bob Hayes grew up?
Yeah.
Okay, yep. I'm familiar with that area. Go ahead.
Yeah, it is. You have a Walgreens. I have a couple Walgreens away, but from my actual store, there's about in a mile radius, there's no pharmacy. And you right outside that mile, you do have some. But in the Newtown area specifically, over by Edward Waters College, I mean, there's a stretch of miles where you don't have any pharmacy.
So what did the elderly do to get their prescriptions?
Well, I mean, a lot of them, they drive to Harvey's or they catch the bus. They do have some difficulty. And then you have some pharmacies that's, a good little ways away that they patronize. But that's on the other side of town. So our goal is to capture, everyone or as many people as we can in this area, in this radius, before we even step outside of it. But we're not limited to that. But, when there is a need, a lot of people, when in an area like this, people aren't drawn to it, aren't attracted to it. But, I was. I mean, I see it as, not necessarily like just a gold mine, but an opportunity and a situation where to fix an issue. And I was reading something, I can't remember who said it, but they were saying, the famous people, the rich people, the people that are successful, if there's a problem, they figure out a way to solve it. And that's what we are about at Newtown and Capstone. It's solutions driven. People say at risk, we say at opportunity. While I was fasting also too, I know I kind of run on, but while I was fasting, I also read a quote that said, if you change the way you look at things, things you look at will change. And something like that, that always will stick with me, everything, that I do.
I understand. Your pharmacy is not an ordinary pharmacy. You offer a lot of additional services to your clients, customers?
Well, yeah, most definitely. We offer, and some of them still do it now. Some of the pharmacy do it, but we make it a real personal touch to it. Mm-hmm. Because right now, of course, I'm still the delivery man.
Okay.
And so not too many times, if any, are you going to have a pharmacist actually bring your medication to you.
I don't think I've heard of one yet.
No. So I'm actually bringing it to your doorstep. We do a lot of things we're getting into is education, because that's going to be the key into taking the medication, because it's already difficult to pronounce it, but we want you to know at least why you're taking it and why you should take it, because that's going to change your whole motivation and mindset on taking your medication. Talking about the different lifestyle changes you can make to improve the outcome of your medication and possibly even find ways to get you off of medication. I mean, that might be something that's different, because, of course, we don't make any money unless you buy prescriptions. But, working with different healthcare professionals as far as getting a diet plan maybe or just changing some things up, because it's all about improving healthcare. And, not to mention any names, but I always find it ironic how you can sell cigarettes and alcohol in a place that's considered to be a pharmacy. You know what I mean? Or drinks or any type of anything you would find in a store that could be detrimental to your health. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things I focus on, my pharmacy. Like, you're not going to find Coca-Colas in the refrigerator. Even though everybody loves a Coke, we're going to have the green teas, have the whole the pure leaf tea, the different smoothie shakes in there. Of course, the good alkaline water that's proven to be real healthy for people. So, that's the approach that we're taking. And a lot of times in areas like this, you don't have that. I'm right across from a convenience store, and all they sell is, the biggest seller is, Black and Mild and alcohol.
Mm-hmm. I understand. Also, saw on the website that you have Black History African Americans in healthcare. Why is that important to you?
Well, I mean, if when you get a chance, maybe you can come by, because I have pictures of all my heroes as far as Black history goes.
Okay.
Because to me, I think that instills something in you that, you know, I think other races take for granted and we don't focus on like we used to. Because, I mean, honestly, I mean, my heroes, I don't know who the little kids look up now, but my heroes, I mean, I remember, you know, watching, you know, Simple Justice about Thurgood Marshall. I remember, you know, watching, you know, Muhammad Ali speeches or Malcolm X speeches or Marcus Garvey speeches or the Tuskegee Airmen or Asa Philip Randolph. I mean, stuff like that is important. Because I think it symbolizes the fact that you can do it. You know, when you see somebody that's like you that's done something great, I think you believe that you can do something great. And just from a visual and symbolic standpoint, I mean, you know, we don't get to see that like the majority does in America. I mean, you look at a dollar bill, you look at commercials. I mean, it's changing now. But when you change the narrative, you know, where I am, when, you know, 9 out of 10, you're not going to see a Black guy like myself doing something like this in your neighborhood. You're going to see him selling the illegal drugs, or you're going to see him just not doing something positive. And the more positivity you can insert, the better. I mean, right now we're in a state of desperation with our people. And people are desperate because they feel like they have no outlet. They have no choice. You know, they don't have another option. But if you think, I mean, to know the story of Benjamin O. Davis, to really know it, I mean, to know what he went through at that time, we ain't going through what he went through. And if he could be successful, that means I could be successful. I almost have a responsibility to be successful if he did it.
I also found it interesting that you got a $5 diabetic medication list.
Yeah.
Since diabetes is run rampant in our community.
Yeah. For people who don't have insurance or it's too high, I mean, we can recommend an alternative. If the doctor will switch it, we can change it and put it on our $5 list.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, anything to improve the health and improve the outcomes and the lifestyles of the people in this area and even in Jacksonville, you know, is what we want to do. I mean, you know, some of the big boys, they offer, you know, almost free stuff sometimes, but there's always a twist to it. And we won't get into that. But, yeah, I mean, anything we can do that we can't give any drugs away, but if we can, you know, it's still a business. We run the business, but, I mean, we're not trying to kill people. We won't get medication that they need.
Why is it important for you all to provide free blood pressure testing and free blood sugar testing?
Well, again, just to have the opportunity to better their health is what we're all about. I mean, you're talking about blood pressure testing is free. I mean, diabetic strips, you got people that's pre-diabetic, and just to monitor their health is huge because, I mean, your diet, you know, people have strokes, people pass out, you go into comas all the time. And some people, when you have access to health care, you may not even know that you're pre-diabetic or diabetic. You just know you have headaches all the time. Mm-hmm. So you come in, I mean, we took a blood sugar one time, it was at like 580.
What?
The person didn't even know they had diabetes. Hadn't been diagnosed with diabetes, but they just know they always had headaches. So, hey, you know, we make a couple phone calls so we can get them in with a doctor if they don't have any or have one they can go to. And then, you know, then it's right there. Same thing with blood pressure. I mean, that's a silent killer. I mean, I had a little league coach just die from a stroke. I had a uncle just have a stroke. A couple weeks ago, and both of them were just in here talking in the pharmacy, you know. And so when you have things like that, I mean, that's just the win-win for everybody.
When you opened the pharmacy and the institute, are other individuals looking at the area for an opportunity?
I'm not really sure. I haven't had anybody approach me about it. But, you know, I mean, you got your head down, you're grinding. There's some people make some inquiries, but, you know, I mean, if that's what they want to do, I mean, I would love to help, but nobody's been persistent.
Other than having a good customer day, at the end of the day, what makes your day successful?
Just some of the stories that I get. I was listening to T.D. Jackson. He was saying, you know, enjoy it on the way up. Enjoy the grind. And just for example, I got a guy, he has Parkinson's. And there was a medication that was about $600, and he was able to get it down to $300. So something for him, but he couldn't make the full payment. But so we put it on credit, and he mm-hmm. was scared to take it, but we had him to take it. I mean, he was literally stumbling. He could barely stand up. And the next time I brought him his medication, he was able to pay for it. He was standing up talking to me in his kitchen. You know what I mean? Stuff like that, you don't forget. You know what I mean? So, and once we get up to, you know, our goal immediately is to get, you know, 50 prescriptions or more a day. Mm-hmm. That's the first goal. And then I have some other goals, personal goals that I want to do as far as the business part. But, I mean, right now, those are the priceless moments that you have, you know, in a business like this. So,
what were some of the things that you learned while you were at Walgreens that is assisting you in your own pharmacy?
Honestly, nothing. Because we didn't get it down to the nitty gritty of the okay. why and the how.
I understand. But have any of your students returned to you once they've completed the course and are employed?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Like I said, most of them are employed before they even graduate. I mean, the best story I can say is in my first class, young lady, she was living in an abandoned house. They kicked a hole in the window. Mm-hmm. And she stuck it out through the class. She was actually a little trouble student, but we stuck it out. And she's actually making $18 an hour working at United Healthcare. Last mm-hmm. time I spoke with her, and she called me, she was almost in tears. So, you know, stuff like that is what it's all about.
I know these two projects keep you busy. What are some of your other activities that you're involved in the community when you're not in the pharmacy?
Yeah, we do things with churches, youth days, different health fairs we try to be a part of. Anytime somebody called me, I mean, I'm working on how to say no to some of this stuff. But we try to be
It's not on?
No, not when I say it.
Go ahead.
Not when I say it, but anytime, you know, somebody has an opportunity, I need some help, we try to be as accommodating as possible. But that's getting kind of tight. But we're gonna continue to do it as much as we can.
So, are you married?
Yes.
And you, I assume that your wife is assisting you in these endeavors.
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, a little bit.
Any children yet?
Yeah, two boys.
Two boys. You gonna let them be pharmacists, or you gonna let them go their own way?
Hey man, they can do whatever they want to do as long as they are productive.
Any final comments, Dr. Chester?
No, man. I appreciate the opportunity. Thanks for reaching out. Anything I could do to help you or anybody who's listening, I could do to help, just let me know, and I'll do my best to get it done.
Dr. Albert D. Chester, owner of Newtown Pharmacy and founder and program director of Capstone Institute, both located in Jacksonville, Florida. If you have questions, comments, or suggestions after future In Black America programs, email us at inblackamerica@kut.org. Also, let us know what radio station you heard us over. Remember to like us on Facebook and to follow us on Twitter. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station or of the University of Texas at Austin. You can hear previous programs online at kut.org. Until we have the opportunity again for technical producer David Alvarez, I'm Johnny O'Hanson Jr. Thank you for joining us today. Please join us again next week.
CD copies of this program are available and may be purchased by writing In Black America CDs, KUT Radio, 300 West Dean Keaton Boulevard, Austin, Texas, 78712. That's In Black America CDs, KUT Radio, 300 West Dean Keaton Boulevard, Austin, Texas, 78712. This has been a production of KUT Radio.